Let us pray. God of light, God of truth, we come to you now seeking to understand the ways in which your Spirit moves in our lives. Lord, in these moments, may we be moved in our hearts and receive wisdom in our minds. Amen. Y'all ever been on a car trip and driven through a long, flat stretch of road? There was a family driving through Kansas while they were on a vacation trip when one of the children who'd been looking out the car window at the flat farmland for some time said, "Boy, it's so flat out there, you can look for farther than you can see." You know, I think that might be a good theme for Christ Lutheran Church for this coming year. Look farther than you can see. This morning we begin a new year that's going to be filled with challenges and opportunities for us here. And I'd like for us to consider this phrase and maybe frame it in the form of a question of self-examination about our faith and our commitment to our mission here. Can you and I look farther than we can see? In the early 1930s, an engineer named Joseph Strauss looked over San Francisco Bay, and in his mind, he formed a picture of a beautiful bridge connecting the two sides of the bay. By 1936, the Golden Gate Bridge had become a reality. Strauss had looked farther than he could see. We need to be people who look farther than we can see. The world needs a new direction, and it starts with us right here in our little corner of the world. It's called faith-based visioning. It's exactly what I see as the primary purpose and responsibility of our church council, and it can and should be the mindset of every one of us here. Let me ask you, if I were to show you a pile of scrap cardboard and old car parts, old tires, and other unwanted kind of trash items, what would be the first thing that would pop into your mind? Trash heap? Junkyard? Eyesore? Well, there was an article in a Time magazine some years back about a professor at Auburn University who looked at those same items and saw new homes. Professor Samuel Mockbee is the visionary behind an architecture firm that specializes in making attractive, functional, low-cost public housing. Mockbee and his students make these attractive, functional buildings out of trash. Some of these homes were attractive enough to have been featured in architectural magazines. These students learn to see value in unwanted trash, and to turn that trash into something beautiful, functioning, and lasting. So some people look at discarded car parts and see trash. Others see building materials. The difference is the power of vision. Nothing happens without vision, without people who look farther than they can see. Okay, so hopefully we have a little handle on this idea of vision. So let's switch gears just for a little bit. In the year 7 BC, the planets Jupiter and Saturn appeared very close together in the night sky, casting a bright glow similar to that of a very large single star. The following year, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn were also closely aligned. Some scholars believe that one of these two events produced the bright light in the sky that the Magi followed when they came to Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And you know the story, which it was in our gospel text. What fascinates me is this. Hundreds of thousands of other people living in that part of the world saw the same bright light in the sky, but they didn't leave their homes to go find the newborn king. What was the difference about these Magi? Vision. They were searching for something that was real, something that would transform their lives. And God loves seekers. This Sunday in the church calendar is called Epiphany. And it's a celebration of the story of the Magi, a story filled with symbolism, if not reality. In our secular language, an epiphany is a new way of seeing or understanding something. So it's appropriate that we should begin a new year with an epiphany, a new way of seeing, a vision, an image of what our lives and our congregation and our mission in this community can yet be. Like the Magi, we need to open our minds and stretch our imaginations. We all may live under the same sky, but we don't all have the same horizon. This first Sunday of the new year is a day for expanding our horizons, scanning the skies, becoming seekers. Of course, there is some danger in that. You know, the world pushes back on those who see things differently. Be forewarned. Sometimes they even crucify such persons. As someone has said, those who dance appear insane to those who cannot hear the music. But this is where change begins, here. It begins with those who are seeking. It begins with us. I mean, did we come here this morning seeking something, or have we found all we need? We are, as individuals and as a congregation, ready for the challenge of a new year. Or is it possible for us to become so complacent that we no longer hunger for a fresh encounter with God? God loves seekers, people who push the envelope for the sake of the gospel, and God comes to meet them where they are. The Magi, first of all, were seekers. They represent us. They were seekers who set out on a journey of faith. Now, this is important. There are many kinds of journeys people can take. Often they have no real goal or point. But the Magi had a specific goal in mind for their journey. We find it in the very first verse of our lesson for today. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." No wonder they called him wise. They were looking for the Messiah so that they might worship him. There are many journeys we can take in today's world, many voices we can listen to, many stars that we can follow, but only one leads us to the manger and the source of peace and salvation. The Magi were seekers who were on a journey of faith. Their goal was to bow before the newborn king. And when they found him, they bowed down before him and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These were expensive gifts. Some scholars have looked on these gifts as symbolic. Gold to represent his kingship. Myrrh to represent his death on the cross and his burial. And incense, a fragrant offering to God. We don't really know for sure. Neither do we know what became of those gifts. Maybe Joseph sold them to finance their perilous journey to Egypt. The Bible doesn't say. What's important is that these gifts represent, most of all, the Magi's devotion. They gave of themselves. And herein lies the key to a life lived in faith, to give of ourselves, give of ourselves to God, give of ourselves to others. There's an interesting story I came across. It's told by an engineering professor at the University of Southern California. He had a student named Joel who was a brilliant student, very filled with potential. But Joel had lost his purpose for living. Now, Joel had been brought up in the Jewish faith, but like many young people, he'd wandered away. God had become really a meaningless symbol for him. He had no motivation to live another day, and no one could convince him otherwise, so he actually began considering ending it all. But then for some reason, Joel stopped by the office of his favorite professor. Fortunately, the professor was in. Joel told the professor that he had everything he wanted or needed. He'd been accepted at several of the top engineering schools to work on his master's degree. I mean, he had everything going for him. Yet he didn't have anything inside. He had no fire in his belly. He had no joy, no enthusiasm, no sense of peace, no vision. The professor said, "I want to ask you to do something. I want you to visit some old people in the Jewish nursing home across the street from our campus." "What for?" Joel asked. The professor said, "You need to understand life through the eyes of your heart." Joel said, "The eyes of my heart?" "Yes," the professor said. "You need to experience what it's like to give to those who have lost their connection to a meaningful life. Go to the desk and ask if there are people there who haven't been visited for a long time by anyone. You visit them." "And say what?" Joel said. I don't know, the professor said. "Tell them anything that will give them hope." Months passed. Then one fall day, the professor saw Joel coming from a bus with a group of senior citizens, some of them whom were in wheelchairs. Joel had organized a trip to the baseball game with a group of his new senior friends who had not been to a baseball game in years. The professor and Joel chatted for a moment. Just before departing, Joel said, "Thanks for helping me find the eyes of my heart." The professor nodded and smiled. And there it is, folks, epiphany. Seeing life with new eyes, vision, seeing in the world new possibilities. That is what I wish for each of us in this new year. That is what I pray will be in our heart as a congregation. The Magi came seeking. Their search took them on a journey of faith. And when they found the newborn king, they offered him gifts, gifts that represented the best of what was in them. This is the kind of vision we need as we begin this new year, a vision to look farther than we can see through the eyes of our hearts and offer God the best we have in ourselves. So I want to challenge us all today to set out on a journey in this new year. Let's get deeper into our faith. Let's spend more time in prayer. Let's focus more intently in regular worship and on God's purpose for our lives. Let's get more involved in real ministry. Let's become involved in carrying out this congregation's mission. Let's work together on making our renovation plan a reality. Let's give the best of ourselves in all the ways that we are blessed to give, to seeking a deeper relationship with God and one another. Let's look farther than we can see. May God bless us all in this new year as we work together as a family of faith to make God's presence and love known in this community. Happy New Year and happy visioning. Amen.